good afternoon. Welcome to TNC Radio.live. This is the Truckers Network Radio Show. And now here's your host, Shelly Johnson.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. Yes, this is the Truckers Network Radio Show on TNC Radio.live. We offer the news, information, traffic, weather, sports, and entertainment our commercial drivers want and need. The IRS tax debt resolution industry has grown dramatically over the past 5 years as many companies have entered the arena to offer help to taxpayers impacted by a sharp increase in IRS tax compliance. This is where people need professional help. It's never wise to take on the IRS by yourself. Dean Michael helps owner-operators, drivers, and small trucking companies put the IRS in the rearview mirror when they run amok with that agency and are facing tax collections and audits. One of Dean's favorite phrases I particularly like is he helps drivers keep their eyes on the road while he keeps his eyes on the IRS. We have Dean with us today to talk about how he got started and issues professional drivers can face when the IRS sideswipes them with an audit and tax collection. Welcome, Dean. Thank you so much for being on the show again.
Thank you for having me, Shelley. Very much appreciated.
So for our listeners who are not familiar with you, how did you get started and what exactly do you do?
Well, we help people that have fallen behind in their taxes, you know, whether they haven't filed for many years or maybe they did file and they owe a balance that they can't handle and they've kind of been burying their heads in the sand and pretending it's not there. Or maybe you're going through an audit that you can't handle. That's where we come into play. If the IRS is trying to levy your bank account, garnish your wages, seize your property, that's when you give us a call. Hopefully before that happens so that we can prevent that from happening.
I've heard the IRS has gotten a lot more aggressive with collection agencies and all kinds of stuff in recent years.
Yeah, they've hired collection agencies, as a matter of fact, much like the state agencies have been doing for years. Mm-hmm. They have outside collection agencies. But once it's there, they're just using them kind of like a telemarketing service, so to speak. Mm-hmm. They're not so much there to resolve it. It's just a matter of getting in touch with them. Once they get in touch with you, most times it just ends up going right back to the IRS anyways.
So wow. And those are phone calls you don't want to get.
Definitely not. Or the letters in the mail either.
Mm. You know? Yeah. So how much trouble can people get into? I think the tendency when somebody really runs behind is to go, well, maybe it'll just go away. How much trouble can people get into?
Well, you asked me how I got into the business, so that'll explain both questions.
Okay.
When I was a youngster, my mom had passed away when I was age 16, and I've been on my own ever since. And ever since then, about 10 years without filing my tax returns. And I was always worried, looking around the corner, trying to figure out, you know, or find out if my check was going to be good or if it was going to be taken once it hit the bank account. It was always a big worry. And I was getting threats left and right from the IRS. And they started levying my bank accounts and garnishing my wages and basically forced me to get help. And I had found a local group at the time. This was many, many years ago, probably, I don't know, 30 years ago now. And the IRS was claiming that I owed $27,000. Yeah. And to me at that time, that was a lot of money. You know, and basically what they had done since I didn't file is they went ahead and they filed for me. It's called a substitute filed return, or an SFR. Mm-hmm. When you make 1099 income and you don't take taxes out of the check, they obviously assume you're going to owe money. So they file the tax return for you. Now, they don't file it for you if they owe you money, of course, but they'll file it, you know, if you owe them.
Right.
When they do so, they don't file in your favor. You know, they file you in the highest tax bracket possible, add on a whole bunch of penalties and assessments, and they come up with these big erroneous figures that they claim you owe. In my case, it was $27,000. Once I had gotten help and gotten everything filed up to date, I didn't have to pay anywhere near there. It turned out I only had to pay $900. And I was done, you know. Now, obviously, I was happy with the outcome, you know, because I was paying significantly less than what the IRS was claiming I owed. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was kicking myself in the butt for letting it hang over my head for so many years, worrying. You know, it was a lot of stress. You know, I would be my own perfect client that I'd be looking for right now. And I buried my head in the sand, pretended it wasn't there, thinking there's bigger fish out there that they're going to go after. Why would they bother with little old me? You know, but they do, and they don't forget. Mm-hmm. So they do come after you. They do levy accounts. They do all that stuff that you hear about if you haven't experienced it already. it's definitely something you want to step up to the plate and get taken care of. Once I went through that whole ordeal, you know, I sat back and thought to myself that I couldn't be the only dummy in this country making these kinds of mistakes. And I did a little research and found out one out of every three people in this country have a tax problem. Now I train CPAs, tax attorneys, and enrolled agents how to do this. So it's been many, many years. I've learned a lot through experience, and I'm very happy to have the experience. I've been able to help a lot of people, especially truck drivers, over the many years I've been doing this.
Now, what I have learned in the past, the IRS and IRS tax court, that's the only court in the country where you're guilty until proven innocent, which I Definitely. Find rather interesting. So they can just allege all kinds of stuff and really have no repercussions.
And you wouldn't believe the things that go on. I mean, I had a client of mine that actually took it to tax court one time, and he got the master transcripts from inside the IRS, and they were doing things that were totally illegal, you know, that ended up getting pointed out in that tax court. But it was drawn out for years. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a long, drawn-out process. I never suggest that you take it to tax court because 99.9% of the time you're going to lose. You know? Well,
and isn't there some sort of caveat in there? If you happen to lose, then they can tack on a $25,000 fine for irritating them?
I'm not sure about that one, but I know they can call it due and payable immediately. You know, so, and nine times out of ten, it's going to cost you a lot more than it would have if you had mediated out of court.
Sure. And it really is, when you think about it, it's the elephant and the mouse. And the average person, they don't know tax law. I've tried to read through tax law. It is the fuzziest math I have ever encountered. I would have flunked math in school. I did formulations and
right
equations like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous. How can the normal person even understand it whatsoever? You know, it's a ridiculous amount. And that's why we have departments of people here that specialize just in truck driving. So I have a whole department just for that, that handles all of the ins and outs for truck drivers, whether you're owner operator, company driver, lease operator, whichever it may be. We have every angle covered for you.
I imagine you have to constantly do your research too, because laws continually change, right?
Oh yeah, we have to take a test once a year, as a matter of fact, to update the information.
Yeah, and from what I have read, what the IRS, the tax code, is one of the most voluminous volumes. It's bigger than War and Peace by far.
Oh, yeah, I would say so for sure. But the worst part about it all right now is that it's not even the tax codes. It's not the language at all. It's the fact that if you're trying to call the IRS on your own without any experience under your belt, you're talking to people on the other end of the line that don't have any experience either.
Oh, you know, good.
Yeah, we're talking to people that really don't know what's going on. Ever since COVID, you know, they had a lot of people leave the IRS and stop working there. And a lot of the people that you're calling now, when you dial the 800 number for the IRS, you actually get a person that's working from home. And, you know, you can hear the kid eating cereal in the background, laughing and doing whatever. And, you know, there's no manager over them. And when they don't know what they're talking about, you need to be able to point them in the right direction. You know, we talked to a revenue officer that had been a friend of ours for years. We asked, you know, why does it seem like every time we call in now, it seems like the people we get on the other end of the line, they seem dumb. They really don't know what's going on. And he said, all the good people that knew what they were doing are retired. So
that's
all a
comforting.
Bunch of green people right now. Yep.
But yet they're trying to expand the ranks at that agency.
I know. Well, God knows who's going to be the authority on that. Because it's pretty difficult right now.
Yeah, because that's a scary phone call to have to make. And I know that the IRS has talked about the fact that you're going to be on the phone for a long time before you actually talk to a human being.
Right.
That's intimidating and irritating to begin with. And then when you know you've got money you owe and you don't know how to navigate the waters, that's super stressful.
Definitely. Especially when you're talking to someone that really doesn't know what they're doing. Ugh. And they're giving you all the wrong information, scaring you even more. You know, yeah, we do. Yeah. Go ahead.
If they give you the wrong information, can you say, but the IRS told me this was okay? That probably
That's
is not
the
a
sad
good excuse,
part.
Is it?
No, it doesn't matter because you know, you couldn't get the same person on the phone twice if your life depended on it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the ACS, the automated collection system that you call into. You can get their ID number, their name, their full correct spelling of their name. It doesn't matter. You can say so-and-so told me this. If it's not in the system, doesn't matter. Not to mention, even when they do things wrong and it's dead wrong, you know it's wrong, somehow things magically seem to disappear out of their system. So,
That's not good.
I know. So I've thought like about recording every call just because of this. You know, I could write a whole book on the stories that I pulled out of there.
Oh, I bet. Well, that's why we want you on the show, because you're super informative, and it's a real eye-opener on why people need people like you. We do have to go to break here. You're listening to the Truckers Network radio show on TNCRadio.live, and we're speaking with Dean Michael, the tax doctor, who's going to give you some information on why you need help if you're dealing with the IRS. Stay tuned for more right here on TNCRadio.live.
This info blog on TNCRadio.live is brought to you by the Truckers Network at app.thetruckersnetwork.net. Spring is near. Cleaning tips for truck drivers. Spring's right around the corner. That means saying goodbye to the cold winter weather and hello to the warm sunshine. For many people, it's time to start spring cleaning at their house. For truckers, this could mean cleaning out their truck. It's not uncommon for truck drivers to spend more time on the road than in their house. Having a clean, organized truck can make life on the road much more enjoyable and less stressful. Here's some spring cleaning tips for truck drivers. Clean and organize. It's always a good idea to incorporate a cleaning routine into your work schedule. After all, your truck reflects who you are as a driver. A clean and well-organized truck can take a lot of stress out of your job as being a truck driver. It also makes you more prepared in the event of a DOT inspection. Take some time this spring to clean out and organize your truck. Throw away the trash. Donate or get rid of things that are not a part of your daily use. Go through your paperwork and organize it. Finally, wipe down the inside of your truck. Get a wet cloth and wipe down your dash, air vents, and other areas you feel need cleaning. After you wipe everything down, pull out your vacuum and start vacuuming the carpets, floor mats, and vents. Wash and wax. The winter months can be hard on the exterior of a truck. All the snow and de-icing salts can make your truck look pretty rough. Start washing your truck from the top and work your way down. Use microfiber cloths to clean your windows and windshields. Maintenance. Failing to stay up to date on your truck's maintenance means you're less likely to spot a problem before it occurs. This can end up costing you a lot of money and time off from work. Not only do you save money and time by regularly performing maintenance on your truck, but you're also more likely to pass a roadside inspection. The spring season is a great time to perform a maintenance check on your truck. Check fluid levels and make sure your lights and windshield wipers are working. Snow and ice take a toll on brakes and tires. The transition from cold to warm weather can affect your tire pressure. Check your brakes and make sure they're not worn out. Be sure to check out the blog, 6 Easy Steps for Keeping Your Semi-Truck Interior Clean, from the Truckers Network at app.thetruckersnetwork.net.
You're listening to TNCRadio.live. Remember to tune in to the Truckers Network Show with Shelley Johnson. Weekdays at 3 p.m. Central, 4 p.m. Eastern.
Welcome back to the Truckers Network Radio Show on TNCRadio.live. I'm Shelley Johnson here with Tom Kelly and Tom Kirk. We're talking with Dean Michael, the tax doctor from Tax Help MD. We've got a lot of questions to ask you, Dean. Mr. Kirk, you said you had a question for him.
Yeah, Dean. This has been something I think drivers have been faced with off and on for a while, whether to be 1099 or W-2. And I know over the last several months, I've been approached by a bunch of different companies saying, oh, come over here. You can make so much more money. And one of the first questions I always ask, are you 1099 or W-2? They're like, oh, you're 1099, and there's all these advantages to it. Is there an advantage to being a 1099 employee versus a W-2 if you're a company truck driver?
Oh, the definite advantage is that you can actually write off, you know, your expenses, whereas a W-2, you cannot. You're not able to write off anything at all. But the downside is that companies shouldn't be offering this as a 1099 because it's not legitimate. It's not legal. Anytime that you're using the company's vehicles and coming in when they want you to come in or running a route that they want you to route, and it's not something that you're doing voluntarily when you want to do it, that's not technically a 1099. It's not an independent contractor, so to speak. If you're running your own truck, then it's a different story. You know, then you can be independent contractor all day long. You know, you're doing what you want to do. You're running the loads you want to run, going the places you want to be, and you're using your own equipment. But when you're using another company's equipment, it's technically not allowed to be a 1099 to begin with. So it could pose to be a problem for the company that hires you down the road. And obviously if it becomes a problem for them later on, it'll become a problem for you.
Well, and I think the secondary question to that too is which a lot of drivers debate when they're trying to figure out, even if it is, let's say, one of the more legitimate or not the gray areas of the 1099, is when you're looking at some of the various other taxes, Social Security, some of the other employment taxes, you know, particularly Social Security, is there an advantage to being a W-2 in that specific sense versus a 1099?
I wouldn't say so. I mean, with a W-2, you know, there's getting taken out every time, so you don't have to worry about it at the end of the year. If you're disciplined enough as a 1099, you know, you can take out those expenses yourself and set them aside. But most people that I've met in my entire life, including me, haven't been very disciplined enough to do that. You know, it's a matter of having the discipline to set aside the proper amount of money that's supposed to be taken out for those particular items. And most people just don't have that in them.
You know, go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead, Shelley.
I'd actually heard this from a tax attorney that the IRS pretty much considers everybody guilty. And they don't, they have an aversion to small business with 1099 situations. They don't like it. They assume that there's fraud always.
Definitely. Especially when there's audits and they audit them going on. And a lot of times, you know, the problem at hand is the IRS themselves. You know, for instance, I've had clients sitting with me on conference with the IRS and the IRS is asking where 5 years of tax returns are. I have the 5 years of tax returns sitting on the desk with, you know, certified mail receipts showing that they were mailed to the IRS and that they signed for them. But the IRS lost them. You know, they actually lose tax returns and then they turn around and blame it on the taxpayer and they will not accept blame for it in any way, shape or form. One of the things to do in that case, I mean, after the fact, it's too late. But what I suggest when you file your tax returns, you know, even if you do it electronically, you can actually bring it down to the office themselves, hand it in, and they give you a hand-stamped copy saying received. That's the only thing that's unequivocally, without a doubt, accepted as the fact that they have received it, and they can't say that they haven't. You know, otherwise, they can say it didn't come through electronically or any number of reasons, but in all actuality, what ends up happening is the IRS actually lost the returns, and it's happened many a time.
That's so scary, and there doesn't seem to be any oversight with that sort of behavior from them. I mean, that's corrupt.
There isn't at all. We do have an outside agency or a third party, you should say, called Taxpayer Advocate, that when we can't come to agreement with the IRS and we know that we're 100% right, and the IRS is actually just being ignorant or refuses to accept the fact that they've made these certain mistakes, for instance, such as changing the collection statutes on certain years. That has happened before. You know, because one of the things that we do when we take on a case, we want to run out that collection statute clock. They only have 10 years to collect the money. If they don't collect it by then it's erased. A lot of times they end up trying to push that collection statute out further, making up this excuse or another excuse as to why they did so. We use the taxpayer advocate to look into it and go through everything item by item, line by line. And in the end, it's actually up to the taxpayer advocate to make their decision. They're kind of like a little mini court between the two, a referee, so to speak. It's a long, drawn-out process, but that's really the only oversight that they have.
Sure. Wow. You know? Scary stuff. So what are some of the biggest areas that owner-operators and trucking companies can face that can cause troubles with the IRS and trigger an audit and all kinds of problems?
Well, there's all kinds of things. You know, obviously not filing the return is number one. Number two is claiming too much exemptions or write-offs and claiming a loss for too many years in a row. If you claim a loss too many years in a row, obviously IRS is going to just start considering what you're doing as a hobby.
What's too many years?
4 or 5 years in a row.
Okay.
You know, if you're just starting up, they're expecting a loss anywhere between 2 and 3 years. But by the fourth year, if you're not showing a profit, you know, it gets a little iffy. By the fifth year, you're still showing a loss, and they're going to start thinking that you're doing this as a hobby. And they won't let you write off anything or use it as a business moving forward. So those are some of the things that can happen. A lot of times just getting bad advice from a previous tax professional, that gets them in trouble. But most of the time, it's just a matter of everybody talking and gathering a little bit of information here, a little bit of information there, gets them off the internet. And next thing you know, they've got just enough information to do themselves a whole lot of harm. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what ends up happening most of the time. So if you really want to know the truth about things, definitely give me a call. And you can call me at 888-557-4020. That's the 888 number to my company. There's people on standby all the time to answer your questions for anything you have. And if you call in during the show or you say you heard us on the show, we'll actually do what's called a free tax investigation for you, which normally costs about $499. To explain what a tax investigation is, we start out every case by contacting the IRS on your behalf. And we order all your transcripts to find out exactly what's going on, what years have been filed, what hasn't been filed, how much they're assessing you with, where they came up with the numbers, what they plan on doing for collections moving forward. It basically gives us an entire blueprint of your full account. With that information, then I'm able to call you back, go over the information that we have obtained, and discern what the best avenue for resolution is. A lot of these companies out there that you hear on TV or actually hear on the radio or see on TV, you know, some of these big companies out there that are making millions and millions of dollars, you know, they're running around promising everybody to settle for pennies on the dollar. And they barely even know your last name, let alone what your actual problem is. And they want to charge you thousands of dollars right up front. We don't do that. We go on a fact-finding mission first to find out exactly what's going on directly from the IRS system, and that way the resolutions that I'm promising you I know are real and obtainable. And that's real important in the tax business. And unfortunately, in this business, there are a lot of bad apples out there. You know, so whoever you're considering to help you, make sure you look at their reviews, you know, see if they're, you know, A-plus rated with the BBB, or just see what their own existing clients are saying, or look on Google or look on Trustpilot, see what the people are saying about them. Sure. Fortunately for me, I have all 5-star reviews from all over the country, which I'm very proud of. And it's very hard to do in this industry. It's very hard to keep people happy because dealing with the IRS these days has taken 3 times longer than it ever did ever since COVID.
They haven't recovered, have they?
Not at all. Not at all. You know, it really killed me when they were closed for 10 months. I couldn't bring in any new clients for 10 months at all.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wow. So it was pretty tough on me for a while. And, you know, what was I going to do? Yeah, pay me now and I'll take care of it whenever they open up again. You know, no one was worried about the IRS when they were closed. Obviously, if they were already putting on hold and procrastinating, they were definitely waiting until they opened back up again. You know, there's a lot of companies out there promising these COVID relief acts and all these other things. They don't exist. They're not real. These are just things they're making up. They're collecting just as aggressively as they were before COVID, if not more, trying to catch up for all the time they were closed.
Well, weren't they given an allotment to expand their staff and all of that for those investigations?
Yeah, and also to hire a bunch more employees. So I don't know how that's working out because there still seems to be a shortage, and the people that we're talking to don't know what they're talking about. So
yeah, because
I don't think that money's getting well spent.
No, because when you think about it, I think it was several decades ago they were trying to say that they were a warmer, friendlier IRS and more accommodating with customer service, and that's definitely not that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it all depends on who you get. So we can't say they're all bad because they're not. You know, they're human beings. Sure. But, you know, if they woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day or they decided they don't like your last name, you know, they can be real mean and ornery. And one of the biggest tricks in the book for us is, you know, I mentioned earlier that you can't get the same person on the phone twice if your life depended on it. So we're calling in trying to negotiate something in your behalf, and we're talking to someone that woke up on the wrong side of the bed. We, oops, lose the call and call back until we're talking to someone that did wake up on the right side of the bed and is willing to go along with what we're negotiating with. So that's one of the oldest tricks in the book. But it's a long, drawn-out process doing it that way because you're waiting on hold for a long time.
Oh, man. You have the patience of Job.
Well, it's not just me. I don't fly around with a big red cape. I've got a great team behind me.
That's what it takes when you're taking on the IRS. It's definitely not a DIY.
No, not,
never
not
use
at
that
all.
Acronym when it comes to the IRS. We do have to go to break here, Dean. I know we've got some more questions here because there are tons of questions when it comes to IRS audits and all of that. You're listening to the Truckers Network Radio Show here on TNCRadio.live. I'm Shelley Johnson here with Tom Kelly and Tom Kirk. We're talking with Dean Michael, the tax doctor from Tax Help MD. Stay tuned for more coming up.
This info blog on TNCRadio.live is brought to you by the Truckers Network at app.thetruckersnetwork.net. 4 things truck drivers need to know about motor truck cargo insurance. Motor truck cargo legal liability insurance, also referred to as cargo insurance, covers the loss or damage to the freight you're hauling. When hauling cargo, there's always a risk that it could be damaged or stolen. While there are no legal requirements to have cargo insurance, it is highly recommended to better protect yourself and the goods you're hauling. What is cargo insurance? Cargo insurance protects you from financial loss if the freight you're hauling gets damaged or lost. In the event of an accident, cargo insurance pays for the amount you're insured for only if the event is covered. Cargo damage resulting from collision, accidents, fire, and spoilage are examples of covered events in most cargo policies. Benefits of cargo insurance. When hauling cargo, someone's paying you to safely deliver someone's assets from point A to point B. The main benefit of motor truck cargo insurance is that you reduce financial loss if the cargo you're hauling gets damaged. Also, purchasing cargo insurance gives you a peace of mind knowing that you're covered if your cargo gets damaged. How is cargo premium determined? The motor truck cargo rate depends on the type of cargo you're hauling. The classifications include dry van freight, flatbed freight, refrigerated freight or reefer, autos, household goods mover, and hazmat. As there are many different cargo classifications for a motor carrier, discuss with your agent the type of freight you intend on hauling. Insurance carriers generally classify motor carriers with the highest commodities hauled. So even if you only intend to haul autos 5% of the time and 95% of the time flatbed freight, your premium will be based on an auto hauler. This is why it's so important to talk with your agent about everything you'll be hauling. This ensures that the policy is written the correct way and excludes nothing that you intend to haul. Nobody wants to be stuck with a cargo claim commodity that's not covered under their policy. Please note that the coverages, limits, and explanations of coverages mentioned here can differ with every motor truck cargo policy, depending on the type of cargo hauled and carrier requirements. Please discuss what is included and what can be added on or endorsed to your policy or quote with your current agent. What limits are you required to carry? There are many factors that determine the cargo limit a motor carrier should carry. Unlike commercial auto liability, generally the shipper who owns the freight will provide you with a minimum limit required to haul a load for them, not the federal government. The standard limit of cargo insurance for general freight is $100,000, but this limit can differ. For example, if a carrier is an auto hauler, his cargo limit could be anywhere from $150,000 to $1 million, depending on the number of autos hauled and the auto's conditions. This info blog was brought to you by the Truckers Network at app.thetruckersnetwork.net.
Hey, this is the Road Hammers. You're listening to TNCRadio.live.
Welcome back to the Truckers Network radio show on TNCRadio.live. I'm Shelley Johnson here with Tom Kelly and Tom Kirk. We're talking with Dean Michael, the tax doctor from Tax Help MD. What I was wondering is, I hear this a lot on ads and so forth on the radio. What is an offer in compromise, Dean?
Offer in compromise is an IRS program. It is a legitimate program where you can actually settle it out for pennies on the dollar, settle your debt. The problem with that is, it used to be a great program. I used it all the time 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It was a great program to use, but it got abused by people that really didn't qualify, and the IRS got inundated with offer and compromises. And to be quite frank, to fill out an offer and compromise is like filling out an encyclopedia. A lot of the companies out there, you know, they're promising everybody. They're calling them up, calling tax lien data, pretending like they know your whole case. And really, they're just calling public records. So if you're a person that's had these problems or these issues, tax liens filed in your name, I'm sure you've been contacted by numerous companies out there from all over the country. And they're just calling off of public records. And they're right out the gate. They're promising you to settle for pennies on the dollar when they don't even know if you qualify at all. And the whole program is based on your ability or your inability to pay, either by income or by assets. There's an actual equation that they use to figure out if you qualify for it. So I did a little YouTube video on this. If you want to look it up, you can look up Dean Michael, the tax doctor, on YouTube, and it explains it in great detail. But long story short, the equation is whatever your NDI is, your net disposable income, and what that means is the difference between your income versus your expenses, whatever you have left over at the end of the month. They just call it your NDI after you've paid all your bills. They take that amount and they multiply it times 12 or 24 months, depending on which offer you're doing. And then they add on the value of any assets. So if you only owe $20,000 to the IRS and someone's promising you to settle for pennies on the dollar, you may have $20,000 in equity in your home that would right away make it so you disqualify. But they're charging people thousands of dollars, sometimes $6,000, sometimes $10,000 to file offering compromises. And the sad part is that the customer doesn't find out that it's gone south until about a year down the road. And that's how far behind IRS is in processing these things. And by that time, that company's already taken out, you know, how many other people for their money at the same time, you know, and they just got to push it off and push it off till you'll see some of the bigger companies, you know, like J.K. Harris back in the day and Ronnie Deutsch and Taxmasters. You know, I had written an article about them before they all went down. It was a big red flag on what they were doing. I saw their processes and what they were doing. I knew for a fact they were all going to go down. And sure enough, they all went down in the same year for doing that very same thing, promising everybody to settle for pennies on the dollar. Now, you may very well qualify for it. And even if you're a perfect candidate on paper, the problem is that once it gets down to it, it's reviewed by one last person. And it's all up to them whether they accept it or not, that one person. So you could be a perfect candidate on paper, and if that person woke up on the wrong side of the bed that day or doesn't like your last name, whatever it may be, they can reject it for any reason they want. And then you're right back to square one. You still owe all the money, except for you've got a year's worth of penalties and interest that have added on top of it, and you're out the $6,000 or $8,000 or $10,000, whatever the company charged you to do the offering compromise. I like to depend on programs that solely rely on math, you know, and if I can prove it on paper, I can get it done. It's not up to the last person that reviews it. For instance, I had mentioned earlier that, you know, the IRS only has 10 years to collect the debt. Mm-hmm. If they don't collect it within that time, then it erases. So we use a program called Currently Not Collectible, or a Partial Pay Installment Agreement. And the way that works is if I can show on paper at the end of the month, after paying all your bills, you don't have enough money to pay the IRS, which is a lot of times the case. You know, a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. Just some people's paychecks are bigger than others. Right. You know, but it's the American way to live paycheck to paycheck. So if I can prove that you don't have enough money left over at the end of the month, then I can put you into a program called Currently Not Collectible, where it doesn't make your debt go away right now, but it stops them from moving forward with involuntary collection activity like bank levies, wage garnishments, property seizures. And it makes it so that you're not required to send in a monthly payment for as long as you're in the same financial situation you're in right now. And you can literally ride that out year after year until the collection statute expires on the debt, thereby paying none of it. So it's actually better than settling for pennies on the dollar. Just sometimes it drags out for a little bit longer than you want it to. However, many of the times when people call me, especially truck drivers, it's many years after the fact. So a lot of times 5 or 6 years of those collection statutes have already been eaten up. You know, they procrastinated so long to get in touch with me. So if that's the case, then you come on board. All I got to do is put you in Currently Not Collectible for another 3, 4, 5 years. And at the end of that 5-year period, you're done. The debt's gone. The only contingency on that is that moving forward, you must file on time and pay on time. Otherwise, they can default your program up until that point. But after the debt erases, there is no way to call it back on you. Unlike the offer and compromise, where they settle it out for pennies on the dollar, let's say you're that one that got struck by lightning and you got the golden lottery ticket that got your offer accepted. Well, the contingency is there for the next 5 years. You must file on time and pay on time. And if you don't, they'll default it and recall the entire debt back on you.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. I'm surprised that's actually legal.
Yep. So. That's what they do. And those are the contingencies involved. So that's why I have such high reviews on me, because I don't promise people, you know, this rainbow at the end of the end. Okay. There's no gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak. You know, there's no pie in the sky. I tell you exactly how it is. I'm going to tell you the truth whether you want to hear it or not. You know, so if anybody wants to know, you know, how to get in touch with me, again, you can call me at 888-557-4020. One of my people will be standing by to answer your questions. They'll offer you a free tax investigation for calling in from the show. And really, if you've been one of these people that has this hanging over your head and, you know, just been burying your head in the sand on it, believe me, they're not going to forget about you. They're going to catch up to you. So this is absolutely free to start up and find out exactly which direction you can go. The consultation's free. After we get all the information from the IRS, you'll be speaking with me directly. I'll go over the information that we've obtained from them, and come up with a plan moving forward that will get you clean from the IRS once and for all.
You know, on some of these ads with these different companies promising the pie in the sky solution, you hear terms like, oh, there's some new tax forgiveness that the IRS is extending. Does that even exist? Or?
No, there's a fresh, the offer and compromise is called the Fresh Start Program,
okay.
And they're using that a lot. You know, they're using
yes,
that as a Fresh Start initiative thing. You know, there's a Fresh Start installment agreement, and there's a Fresh Start offer and compromise. They're both, they couldn't come up with a different name for both programs for some reason. But they're not going to be creative.
I mean,
no, it's all set in stone. You know, a lot of them are saying that there's COVID relief acts too, but there isn't. You know, there isn't anything new like that where there's a COVID relief tax act or anything like that. So when they're blowing that kind of smoke, you definitely need to look them up.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I've heard these different ads, and I thought, I don't, that just doesn't sound right. And I'm surprised the Federal Trade Commission hasn't stepped in and say, hey, this is false advertising.
I know.
They're misleading people, and certainly then people are giving good money after bad to a firm that isn't helping them and won't be able to. That puts them in a worse position.
Definitely. And you mentioned, you know, the misleading. There are other companies out there that rather than calling you, they send out these mailers. They use the public information from the tax liens again, and they send you this mailer with showing how much you owe, and because it matches the amount you owe, you think they know about you. And they actually make it look like a government form when they open it up. So it makes it you makes them think that they're calling a government agency to resolve their tax problem.
Yeah, that's deceptive.
They're actually calling the IRS, you know. And the attorney generals in each state, you know, they're fed up with it. You know, as soon as they find out that it's happening, they do close those companies down. But sometimes it's a while before they find out. You know, and just, I see them more and more these days. It's just, and even with my own clients, you know, I'll get a call saying, Dean, I thought you took care of this. I'm getting a letter from the IRS saying they're going to levy my bank account, garnish my wages. And when I get they send me a copy of the letter, it's just one of those scam companies pretending to be the IRS.
Sure.
You know, you can always call the number, and if they answer the phone, you know, tax office or tax resolution or whatever, tax group or whatever it is, you know it's not the IRS.
Right. Yeah. You know?
And typically they don't send out letters like that anyways.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Also, if some of them are pretending to be the IRS when they call you, IRS doesn't call unless you have your own revenue officer assigned, which is another big difference between having a revenue officer and not having a revenue officer. It's two different things. You know, a revenue officer assigned to your case, their job is to collect as much as they possibly can, and they're the ends all that meets all. You know, so if they get assigned to you, you definitely want to have professional help on your side because it gets really tricky, and they look into everything item by item, line by line, and they make it much more complicated than it really needs to be.
Oh, it's awful. I personally could never work there. I mean, you really...
I know.
You're charged with ruining people's lives.
I know. I actually got audited myself in 2017, and I went down to the office. And, you know, once I told them what I do, they're like, well, they don't really need you, right? And I was like, do you see what you're doing with my stuff? And I know what I'm talking about. You know?
Yeah.
And you're telling me they don't need me? I mean, that's just absurd because everything they were telling me was wrong. I had to point them in the right direction and show them the error of their ways. And then they had the nerve to turn around and say that, you know, people don't need me. And that they could just call in and get this information. And it's not true at all. It's not true at all.
Yeah. Sometimes it takes a little while to get to intelligent life at that agency.
That's for sure. It's becoming far and few in between, that's for sure.
You have to go up where the air is thinner. For sure, yeah. We do have to go to break here, Dean. You've got some terrific information. You're listening to the Truckers Network Radio Show on TNCRadio.live. I'm Shelley Johnson with Tom Kelly and Tom Kirk. We're talking with Dean Michael, the tax doctor from Tax Help MD. There's going to be more great information, so stay tuned. 6 safety tips for truck driving and hot weather. Driving in the heat can create dangerous situations for truck drivers. Drivers need to take specific precautions before hitting the road in extreme heat. When there's an incoming heat wave, drivers need to be aware of how to safely drive in these weather conditions. Follow the Truckers Network's 6 safety tips for truck driving in hot weather. Every truck driver needs to complete a pre-trip inspection before driving, especially in hot weather. Check your tires. Heat can have a huge effect on your tires. As the temperature increases, so does the air pressure in your tires. During the hottest months of the year, it's important to frequently check your tire pressure. Frequently checking your tires can save you from a blowout. To get an accurate measurement, wait for your tires to cool down before checking the pressure. The heat and friction from the road causes your tires to warm up, which will cause a rise in tire pressure. Also, don't be afraid to take a break every couple of hours to let your tires cool down. Protect your engine. Not only should you protect yourself from the heat, but you should also protect your engine. One way to keep your engine from overheating is to frequently check the engine oil. The oil keeps the engine cool and keeps the parts running smoothly. Engine coolant is just as important as engine oil. Coolant helps prevent the engine from overheating in extremely hot temperatures. Keep an eye on the coolant temperature gauge while driving. If the gauge goes above the safe temperature, pull over and see what's going on. Failing to look at the situation could lead to engine failure. Also, make sure to check for leaks in the hoses. A cracked hose can lead to engine failure. Check your brakes. Cold and hot weather affect your semi-truck's brakes. When you brake, you create a significant amount of friction and your brakes become extremely hot. When you add in hot weather, your brakes have an even higher chance of failing. To avoid your brakes from failing, brake gradually to decrease the amount of heat. Also, regularly check your brake pads to ensure they're working properly. Tips to protect yourself from the hot weather. It's just as important to protect yourself during extremely hot weather. Follow these tips to keep yourself cool and safe. Stock up on water. As the temperature increases, you need to increase your water intake. Make sure to always have water in your truck. You never know when you might get stuck in traffic or break down on the side of the road. Wear sunscreen. Many truck drivers forget this step. Even when you're in your truck, you're still exposed to the harmful UVA rays. Make sure to put sunscreen on before hitting the road. Wear light-colored clothes. Light-colored clothing reflects light, and dark-colored clothing absorbs it. Wearing light-colored, loose-fitting clothes helps you stay cooler and more comfortable.
TNCRadio.live, your commercial driver navigation station.
Welcome back to the Truckers Network Radio Show on TNCRadio.live. I'm Shelley Johnson here with Tom Kelly and Tom Kirk. We're talking with Dean Michael, the tax doctor from Tax Help MD. Dean, you are a wealth of information. What is the difference between putting everything in a shoebox and using an app to handle your tax records? Is there a really good way to organize in case an audit ever occurs?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned it. That, you know, the IRS wants you to keep all the information for at least 7 years. And I've heard every excuse in the book that my cellar flooded or, you know, that there was an earthquake or hurricane or whatever, or tornado blew out the house, or the ex-wife took all the information or whatever it may be. It doesn't matter. The best way to keep all of your information is scanned into some type of, you know, computer, some app, some type of hard drive or even a flash drive, you know, that you can keep around pretty easily. Because when we started this business many, many years ago, you know, I used to have truck drivers send me in their receipts, and they would literally come in shoe boxes. Some of them would be, you know, just a pile of receipts that I'd have to sort through ourselves and figure out what went to what. And some of them would have them categorized by month, you know, thinking that that's all nice and clean, you know, in different manila envelopes, you know, separated each by January, February, March. And unfortunately, a lot of the things that they kept really weren't any things that they could write off. You know, I would get, for instance, I have a case there right now where I have receipts upon receipts for liquor. And I'm pretty sure you can't write off the liquor.
Especially not as a driver. Oh, my goodness.
Well, wait. I'm going to ask a question. Was it Everclear? Because that's hand sanitizer.
Ah, good point, Tom.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It wasn't at all. They were actually drinks, and they were fancy drinks that he was ordering from wherever he went to. And you know, he thought that was something that he could write off as part of the per diem or something like that. And it just doesn't fly that way. Mm-hmm. So number one, you know, you want to be able to know what you can write off and what you can't. What we've done because the shoebox method didn't work out very well in the beginning. You know, it started out with shoe boxes and then turned into refrigerator sized boxes and filled up my office, and it started to fill up my home. I'd be tripping over them in the middle of the night. So we had to get rid of that process all along. And once we did so, we used what's called a tax organizer for the end of the year, where we send you out a truck driver specific income and expense form, deductions form, so to speak, where it tells you specifically what your industry can write off and what the expenses should be. You know, there may be some there that you aren't aware of that I can send you out a truck driver specific income and expense sheet that might help you out. But it's very clear on what you can and can't write off. And now we don't have you send in your actual receipts anymore, because then I had to be responsible for sending them all back just in case you got audited. So now we just send out the tax organizer and have you fill in the blocks as to, you know, which expenses are what. So you got to add up your own receipts and whatnot and just send me the numbers. I don't need the actual receipts to file the returns. I just need the numbers, and the numbers need to be factual. Otherwise, if you can't back them up and you get audited, you know, it's not on me. Obviously, it's something that you need to be able to back up.
Right.
When you give us the numbers, you know, if they look kind of shady or something's not adding up, you know, for instance, you only made $20,000 for the year, but your mortgage and interest was $30,000. How did that happen? You know, how did your mortgage get paid? You know, those are big red flags that come up when you try and deduct too much and shows too much of a loss, but these other expenses were paid all year round. You know, these are big red flags that come up at the IRS.
Don't they have actually certain percentages that they expect somebody to spend money on, like say for marketing and for this and for that? And if you fall out of parameters, that triggers something?
Sometimes, yeah. But most of the time, it's just trying to claim too much overall. You know, it's not in one particular area, especially marketing, because a lot of money can be spent on marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, not so much in the truck driving industry, but in other businesses, you know, marketing is a big deal. For instance, in my business, you know, you have that big company out there, Optima Tax Relief. You can't turn on the radio without hearing them everywhere. And they spend millions and millions. They're a publicly traded company, you know, but they actually opened up a year after I opened my company, and they started using my exact process that I use, my same practices that I use, using the same everything that I use, and they also used my trademark on their advertising, their online advertising. So when clicked what was supposed to be my ad, it actually took them to their website. So, you know, the tens of millions or billions they're making wasn't enough. You know, they had to take a little bit of money I had coming into.
Ouch. So, and that's an intellectual property issue there.
And, you know, like I said, they're a publicly traded company. They're making, you know, at least $1 billion a year. So, you know, when I talked to somebody about suing them, they said, they would just buy you up anyway, try and buy out your name or whatnot. And honestly, my name has been built up too well. I'm not willing to give it away, not for any amount of money.
Don't blame me there. Well, this is yet another good reason for people to reach out to you.
Yeah.
You play by the rules.
I do. And a lot of the people that they hire there, you know, because they've come to apply at my company as well, you know, they hire like ex-car salesmen or something like that and try and teach them how to do the sales aspect of it. I don't have any of that here. All I have is tax consultants. That's it. They have to go through a course here that I teach them so that they can answer everybody's questions, you know, very as a matter of fact, effectively and efficiently, and not just trying to give some sales pitch. You know, you're not going to talk to an ex-car salesman or copier salesman or anything like that. So you're talking to actually tax professionals when you call in and speak to somebody at my company. Also, you're not just a number. At Optima, you're just a number. You know, try and talk to the CEO at Optima. It's not going to happen.
you know? Right.
So you can. I actually give out my cell phone number to our clients. You can call me day or night. I gave up banker's hours years ago, especially since I did a lot of the overnight truck driving radio stations at night. You know, so I get a lot of calls at nighttime. Obviously, I'm not up 24/7. So, you know, if you call my number in the middle of the night, you probably get a voicemail, but I'll be sure to call it right back the first thing in the morning.
That's good to know. Yeah. Mr. Kirk, you said you had one question. We have about under 4 minutes here. So,
yes, something that I got thinking of here a few minutes ago is, you know, we've been talking most of your services as relates to owner operators, you know, whether it's doing their taxes or, you know, getting help if they're going to be audited. And you mentioned at something earlier where in certain cases it may be a beneficial if somebody's doing a hobby business or things like that to get a bookkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
should truck drivers, or really anybody nowadays, try to do taxes on their own? Because I know the last couple of years when I've done it, it usually ends up with much swearing and considering of throwing the computer around the room, because you've got forms for this state, this for this state, this for federal. You run it through two or three different tax programs, and they come up with all kinds of different numbers that aren't even close as to what you may owe, get back, et cetera. Has it reached a point where maybe you're just better off biting the bullet and paying the, you know, couple hundred dollars or whatever it may be for someone to do the taxes for you?
That's what I've been telling everybody for years, you know, because a lot of the times the reason why they come to my company is because they tried to do the taxes themselves, or the wife thought they could do the tax themselves, or, you know, a brother's cousin's mother was a CPA way back when, and they decided to do it for free. You know, but they don't specialize in the truck driving industry. And the truck driving industry is very specific. You know, you got the per diems, you got all the expenses with the fuel and the maintenance and everything else that needs to be taken care of. And it all has to make sense. And we all know that maintenance is very expensive, depending on if you got a bum truck or not. Man. And one of the other things that you want to be aware of that I run into a lot is that there are owner operators out there that are still running just under their own name as the sole proprietor. I don't recommend that. Any entity that's making more than $40,000 gross, which most owner operators are, if they're not, they're in the wrong business. If you're making more than $40,000 gross, you want to be set up as an S corp or an LLC, and that way it can save you a ton of money. Ton of money in the employment taxes, you know, in the 941s and whatnot. So I believe that's a big error out there and big misconception, because some of the older drivers out there, you know, they can't teach an old dog new tricks kind of thing. But since there seems to be a lot of new drivers coming into play, if you're doing the owner operator method, definitely set up an S corp. And that's something we can help you out with as well. It's very, very simple to do. And as long as you're doing it right, it's going to pay off for you in a big, big way. And as far as the difference in paying the tax return money, paying a tax professional, as far as doing the return, you're going to save a heck of a lot more money by knowing that, you know, you have the comfort of sleeping well at night, knowing that somebody did your return that knows exactly what they're doing. Yeah. And you're not sitting there wondering if you're going to get a letter back on everything that you submitted.
I've also heard that if you have a CPA or somebody like that sign on one side of the return, you're less likely to be looked at. Is
definitely.
That correct?
Yeah. Definitely. Yep.
So my mother was right on that.
Yeah,
for sure. She was actually an accountant.
Unfortunately, you're still responsible, though. That's the sad part, you know, and which I don't understand, because, you know, if I went to the car mechanic, I'm going to the car mechanic because I want them to do something I don't know how to do, you know. So would I be responsible if something they did breaks? No, I mean, it's their fault, right? So it should be our fault if they did something wrong on the return.
Sure.
But IRS doesn't look at it the way they think that you should have known. I don't know how that is, but that's the common sense that they're looking for. And if you're looking for common sense, it's definitely not at the IRS.
Yeah, they don't have that. No. Common sense, that's missing there.
Exactly.
Absolutely. We have about a minute left here. Where do people reach you, Dean?
Well, as I mentioned before, you can call me at the 888-557-4020, or you can go to taxhelpmd.com. There's a lot of helpful information on my website. You can listen to podcasts that I've done in the past. You can hear what callers are saying when they call in live. You can check out the reviews on my company. And like I said, there's a bunch of helpful information in there. You can set up a free consultation with me right on there as well. You can book it right on my calendar, and I'll meet up with you, talk over the phone, go over everything that needs to be done moving forward. But if you're one of these people that had this hanging over your head for a while, believe me, it's just not worth having it hang over your head, because it's a lot easier to handle if you just tackle it right on, head on, with before waiting until, you know, you don't want to wait until the IRS catches up with you, because by then it's a whole bigger mess and it's costing you a heck of a lot more money.
Yeah, and who wants to buy the IRS agent a cup of coffee?
Exactly.
Nobody.
Exactly.
They want gourmet prices, meet your primo coffee and caviar by the time they're done with you, right?
And they will come knocking on your door, you know. So
that's not good. No, yeah. No.
They're going to come take a personal inventory, and you don't want that to happen. Nobody
absolutely.
Does.
Yeah, totally agreed. Thank you so much, Dean, for being on the show. You've been a wealth of information. We've been talking with Dean Michael, the tax doctor from TaxHelpMD. Definitely give him a call. Check out his company's website, because he can help you if you've got problems with the IRS. He can help solve them, which is, that's a godsend.
Thank you so much, Shelley. I really appreciate it.
And thank you. Appreciate it very much. This is the Truckers Network Radio Show on TNC Radio. Live. Stay tuned for more coming up. Thank you for listening to another great interview on TNCRadio.live and the Truckers Network Radio Show. All of the material you hear on TNCRadio.live, on our website, our broadcasts, or our podcasts are copyrighted. There can be no distribution without the express consent of TNCRadio.live and its partners. For inquiries, write us at info@TNCRadio.live. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast of the Truckers Network Radio Show.